I am your healing. It's in his name. If you need encouragement, I am your encouragement. I am Savior. I am Redeemer. I am Reclaimer. Hallelujah. I am your strength. Oh, praise God. He didn't say, tell them I will be, has sent you. He didn't say, tell them I was sent you, past tense. He didn't put it in the past. He didn't put it in the future. He said, I am. And that's why every time Jesus said something in the New Testament like, I am the resurrection, he got that far. I am. And it made them nervous because they knew it was a reference to deity. When he said, I am the resurrection and the life. The resurrection and the life wasn't the part that bothered them. The part that bothered them was the fact that he said, I am. Because they knew it was a reference to his deity. When he said, I am the bread of life, it wasn't talk about bread that bothered them. It was the fact that he said, I am the bread of life. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm glad I know who he is. Thank you, Jesus. John chapter 10, verse 30, when he said, I and my Father are one. It disturbed them. Verse 59 of John 8, then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. They were so provoked by what he would say about himself. Well, I'll give them a verse. Shall we give them a verse to help them out? For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God. And try this one on. The Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Woo! Here's what I would like to give somebody an encouragement. I'm afraid sometimes if we're not careful, we live like we're orphans. See, it's easy for me to talk like that because my mom and my dad are gone. Her mom and her dad are buried. My daughter's buried. You can start to feel once in a while like you're an orphan, but he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you. Does anybody, if you've ever felt like you're an orphan, raise your hand. Hallelujah. I mean, just felt like I don't fit. I don't belong. I'm not sure where I'm supposed to be. He said, oh, I don't want you to feel like that. Hallelujah. What's the guarantee that we're not orphans? It was his presence. That's why he said, I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. What was he saying? He was saying, if you can feel my presence. Can anybody feel his presence in the house? Has anybody felt the presence of God in his house today? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, he said, there am I in the midst of them. Oh, praise God. If you can feel, discern, experience the presence of God, that's the guarantee against the syndrome of orphan. I believe the Lord wants to reveal himself to some folks who feel like you were thrown away. You were ditched, or you ditched God and thought he forgot about you. But I have good news for you. For unto us a child is born. Unto us, he was born in a direction. He was born at us. He was born toward us. He could never forget you. There's a beautiful scripture in Psalms 27 that says, when my father and my mother forsake me, then he says, then the Lord will take me up. We're living in a nation where millions of people feel so disconnected and so disjointed. But if we could ever get a revelation on the fatherhood of God. Lift your hands and let's magnify the Lord for a few moments, if you would, with me. Thank you, Jesus. Give us a revelation, Lord. Hallelujah. Wonderful God. In Jesus' name. Thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you for what you are and who you are to us. Some of you, most of you have not ever met my father, but those of you that have, how many of you ever met Jack Meadows through the years? You knew him or knew of him. Praise God. Just a few of us. He was a comedian. He was truly a comedian. I remember many times when we were with him, I thought, you could put Bob Hope out of work. Dad, you are so funny. You are so everlastingly hilarious. You are a corker. You are a character. But let me tell you, I wouldn't probably be here if it weren't for my father. Because he chose to open up his home to revelation. He invited some one God, Jesus' name, Holy Ghost filled people to come into our house. And we shared the testimony just a few Wednesday nights ago how Alan and Carol Abbey walked into our house and proposed to teach a Bible study. And I was 14 and I'd been in some really, really, really boring Bible studies. And I was so worried that that's what was going to happen again. And I was so like, oh my, if I, God help us, Jesus, please, not one of them again, not one of those dull, boring. Anyway, before they left the house, they wanted to pray. You know what? What's the home court evangel? The home court advantage. What is that all about? They should have helped the Buckeyes when Oklahoma came here. What's the home court? You're on your home court. It's worth another player, isn't it? It's an advantage because it's your fans that the plurality of your fans. Do you know when we get to praying, that's our home court advantage. That's what we do. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Oh, hallelujah. We understand a little bit about that. That's our home court. We have an advantage. And so when we pray, we can pray with confidence and with power. Anybody believe that? So he opened up our home to revelation. And that was the first time I got the privilege of understanding what repentance and water baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and saw it as a revelation because Daddy opened up our house to God's word. But here was the most difficult thing about my dad. And that was that most, I give him great respect and great honor today, but most of my life, he wasn't present. Most of my life, he was gone. You can feel like an orphan. Of course, we had one amazing mama. We had an amazing mom who took us to church, got us going. But it might be 10 years before we'd see my dad again. But you see, the Lord understands this mechanism. There's something about the fatherhood of God. Sometimes we are living like we're orphans, like we're not connected. Anybody know what the preacher's talking about? I came to tell you, you're a child of his. You're a son of his. You're a daughter of his. And he said, I won't leave you comfortless. In the Amplified, again, the rich words used there, I will not leave you as orphans, comfortless, bereaved, and helpless. I will come back to you. Hallelujah. And he's here. And Sister Mary, you are like the amen, the freshest amen to that. When I felt impressed, we felt impressed to pray over you. And we don't normally do that maybe with first time attenders, but the presence of God came down on you. Hallelujah. Touched your grandsons. Amen. Touched your family. Would you stand up and praise the Lord? Sister Mary, it is so exciting to have you. among us. You are not an orphan, Sister Mary. You have a heavenly Father. Come on, let's worship the Lord a little bit right now. Thank you, Jesus. You're not an orphan. You don't have to live like an orphan. You don't have to live like nobody owns you. Nobody loves you. You don't belong. I want to tell you what. Here you belong. You're in the family of God. This isn't just a bunch of people that decided to get religious this morning. You're among the family of God. And there is a God that moves among us. And one of his little titles that he wears, he is our heavenly Father. I worship you, Lord. Let's give him some more praise. Would you give him genuine praise? Would you give him genuine worship? He is your Father. Hallelujah. Yes, and there's revelation in the fatherhood of God that we need today. Many of us need to experience that. Just as my dad, unique, colorful, wouldn't be here. Wouldn't be in the truth, wouldn't be walking in these beautiful revelations without him. But he was gone most of the time. How many of you have experienced that in your life? You got a daddy, you love him, but they were gone most of the time. So God comes along and says, I'm the solver of that. Hallelujah. I will not leave you bereaved. I will not leave you hopeless. I will not leave you to your own imagination, leave you feeling like you don't fit. I'm coming back to you. Oh, praise God. I'm telling you, there are thousands, thousands, thousands upon thousands of people, even in this citywide area, just this citywide area, 110 or so years of apostolic preaching. We have an amazing small nation of people that are here and there and about and don't know where to land. But I say, come by here and let us love on you a little while. Come by here because we honor God and we honor the fatherhood of God. And somebody wants to throw his arms around you and bless you and heal you. Anybody experience some of that healing? You don't have to live like an orphan. We don't have to live like we have no roots. We have no home. Evangelizing for so many years, one of the toughest things is the feeling that you don't belong anywhere. You know, you want to be a blessing everywhere you go, but you don't really belong anywhere. But I believe that he took care of that need when he said, I'm coming back. I'm not going to leave you to stumble around feeling, Brother Joe, like you don't belong. I will come back to you. Who is talking? God, hallelujah. He was the Father in creation, the Son in redemption, and the Holy Ghost in regeneration, and all these three are one. Praise God. We have a revelation, but we very seldom preach about the fatherhood of God. Could I tell you that many times I address him like that? Father God. I often address him like that. Father God. Hey, Lord. Hey, Father God. Would you lift your hand right now and call him that? Hey, Father. Hey, Lord. Hey. Hey, Daddy. Hallelujah. Hey. Hey, Jesus. Hey, God. Hey, Father. I worship you, Lord. Come on, lift him up, lift him up. Let's lift him up. There was such a strong presence that came down today. And he wants to wrap his arms around somebody who feels dislocated or feels like off track or feels maybe even unaccepted. Maybe you've carried in your heart a lot of wounds. I'm telling you, he's in the healing business. And to know that he loves us like a father and that his guarantee to chase our orphanhood away is the fact that he said, My presence will do it. I'll come back to you. One of our great conference speakers years ago had gone a number of days, and actually I think it stretched into weeks that he had not felt the presence of God. And it really started to bother him. He had not been living for God a long time, but he loved to feel the presence of God. Don't you love to feel the presence? And so he was reading his Bible, and he came to the last part of Matthew, where Jesus said, "And lo, I am with you always." Didn't even put an S on the word always. "And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. And when he read that, he thought, "My lands." He said, "He's with me always." So he threw up his hands and began to thank God, though he had not felt his presence in weeks. He began to thank God for his presence and the fact that he had a promise. And while he was worshiping God in that mode and in that way, the power of God, this God he had not felt, the power of God fell on him and knocked him to the floor. That's what he said happened to him. I'm telling you, he's here. You say, "I heard his heart." I know that, but you asked his forgiveness. Hallelujah. There's mercy. Ladies and gentlemen, we need a revelation on mercy. We need a revelation on grace. There's mercy. It's called amazing grace. He's looking for you. He's looking for us. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Have you ever read that one? 2 Chronicles 16:9. His eyes. Never forget, you know, Brother Cisco has a glass eye. And I forget. Because sometimes I'll sit on that side of him. And you see, he's so cool. Brother Cisco is so cool. He'll go, "Could you sit over on the other side? I can't see you there." And I'm thinking, dummy. To the other side. I forget. But he has funny stories. Especially the one, you know, when he was younger, he was such a rascal. God has used him mightily in healing. There have been hundreds of people healed, you know. Probably thousands would not be an overstatement. He pulled out his eye and rolled it down. He was just taking a look around. I mean, it was, you know, he has all these funny stories. You know, he was just, and he's got some others that I can't tell you, but he's told me that happened when his eye got loose and rolled where it wasn't supposed to go, and how he was trying to retrieve it. It really got really kind of dicey there and fragile. But anyway, when you say, "Why are you talking about him?" He's one of my mentors and one of the voices in my life. But when I quote that verse, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro," that's who I think about, his brother Cisco. But you know, just like he has that glass eye, he's also got one that can see really good. And God's got some eyes, and he sees really good. And his eyes are moving, and he's watching, and he's looking for every opportunity where he can bless somebody. God loves to bless people. God loves to heal people. God loves to fill people. God loves to reclaim people. He loves to renew them and restore them. Why? Because he's Daddy God. He's got a father's heart, and he loves it when we reach out to him. Woo! Oh, praise God. Why did Jesus start the Lord's Prayer like this? "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." This is how you pray the prayer I'm recommending. Start out by saying, "Our Father." God wants us to experience his fatherhood. We are, you talk about a nation, and my wife has given us some great reasons to rejoice, but we're so fractured by so many things, politics and viewpoints and takes on things. You know, we're just, it's a fractured nation at this point, and we got a lot of people floating in our culture that don't know where to land. I just want to tell them, come and land here. If you'll come this way, we'll love you. We'll bless you. We'll try to support you. We'll try to encourage you. We'll try to pull you in. And why do we like love to go out and have sometimes half the church out at a restaurant and overwhelm restaurant personnel? Why do we do that? Because everybody needs fellowship. Hello. Anybody know what I just said? Everybody needs fellowship. You know what? She didn't carry this title. But this is what Ember was. She was our unofficial fellowship director. And between her and Brother Tim, I think Tim had a crush on her. I think she had a crush on him. And rightly so. What a guy. And what a gal. And they they sit in a restaurant. Why do we make a big deal about fellowship? Everybody, ladies and gentlemen, I believe this is a key to the harvest and the revival that God wants to give us. Everybody needs somebody. Like Dean Martin used to sing, everybody needs somebody. Everybody needs a place. Everybody needs a family. Everybody needs to know there's a daddy in the skies that is calling and coming to comfort and encourage us. It's a revelation to my heart. You don't have to. We don't have to live like we're a pack of orphans. I wish somebody get happy right now. Just get happy and go. Jump up and get happy. You are a child. He said, come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. Woo! Hallelujah. He wants us to understand we're not out here on our lonesome. Yeah. That one individual was talking to a praying woman, a famous lady that loved to sing and worship and pray. And as they could tell that this person felt sort of disenfranchised. And they said something about, honey, God don't sponsor no flops. If he's your sponsor, he don't sponsor no flops. Praise God. Listen to this. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father, and that's a capital F on Father, the Father of mercies. He is called the Father, Linda, of mercies. Linda, you have so blessed us and inspired us. I got to thinking the other day, all those months of praying for you and your boys and your little beautiful darling girl, all of it was worth it. We got our money's worth because you bring so much energy and so much drama, wonderful sweet drama in action and smiles, and you never know, but there's always something good coming out of Linda. She's become a part of our family. Hallelujah. She's been added to our family. This really is a church family. It's not just a club. It's not just a crew. It's not just a team. It's a family in God. And he is our Heavenly Father. Woo! Father of mercies. There are days when we need him to be the Father of mercies. And then it says, if that weren't enough, it says, and the God of all comfort. You want a ministry? Just start encouraging people. You will be in great demand shortly. Nobody. And Brother Bob. Hey, Brother Bob. Hey, Tim. Pull Brother Bob in real quick. He's helping us in the foyer. And substituting and pitch hitting for Sister Joy. But let me ask you, if he remembers this, ask him, Brother Bob, nobody gets too much. Nobody overdoses on too much what? Shout it, Brother Bob. Come here, Brother Bob. One of the most encouraging guys. He bribes the kids. He carries quarters. Long before he has an encouragement ministry. Praise God. You go out to a restaurant, he can keep you enthralled for 2 hours with his humor and his stories. He knows more stories than anybody I've ever heard, except maybe Nathan Urshan. But oh my, come on now, he's a part. They've become a part of our family. Hallelujah. And he's meeting needs. And you know what he does? He gets a cup of coffee ready for me. And he has to time it just right because he knows I hate cold coffee. And he's trying to, you know, when's he going to be done? And how long is the altar going to go? And oh, I've got to get this right. And he'll go back and heat it up again. He's got that coffee. I come in there. There's a cup of hot coffee and sometimes a cookie. Oh, praise God. Hey, man, I got a low carb, but, you know, just eat a little piece of. Oh, praise God. And he's ministering to us because it's a ministry of encouragement. You can have a ministry. You can create a ministry. You can do unique and fun and creative things if you just get it in your heart. I'm a part of a family, and I want to make this family even better. I'm going to add my energy. I'm going to add my warmth. I'm going to add my humor. I'm doing pretty good on that one thought. I had to. Remember the day we were going to the restaurant and Hester was behind me. And, you know, she likes to just get, like most of us, just get where we're going. And what she didn't know is I had this cup of hot coffee and I'd spilled it right on the, and I didn't want to waste the coffee because it was given to me in honor and kindness and thoughtfulness. And I saw her behind me, but I believe in baptism. You know what I mean? I believe in baptism very strongly. And we were practicing baptism again. And the waters were very murky because they looked like coffee, because they were. And I'm balancing this cup and I'm trying not to spill anymore. And I'm trying to keep going. And Esther behind me, she wants to get there. I won't get there. She doesn't know why I'm going slow. It's because I'm really feeling the hot coffee. But you see, one of my church family poured that for me. And I didn't want to waste it or disrespect it. You know, when David's men poured out that water, he didn't want to drink any of it because he said they weren't in jeopardy of their lives. And he saw the respect and reverence they had for him. And he didn't want to partake of it because he saw they went in jeopardy of their lives. It cost them something to love him. And it cost us something. It cost God something to love us with this kind of fatherhood love. And it cost us something to love him with all of our lives and all of our hearts. Listen, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all your heart and with all your strength and with all your might. Anybody loving God like that yet? Hallelujah. We have a family in the Holy Ghost, and you have a Father in the heavens, and he's present here. Oh, praise God. And he wants to pull you in and love on you and convince you that you are important to him and that you are a priority in his blueprint for revival. Anybody believe that? Jump to your feet and give God hosanna and praise. You are a priority. You are a blessing to your God. You're a joy to his heart. You're a part of his family. And you mean something to him. Woo! You may be seated. Listen to James 1 verse 17. Almost done. Every good gift and every perfect gift. I love this verse. Is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Capital F on Father. Comes down. There are days when we need direction. I want you to know you can call him the Father of Lights. Hey, Father of Lights, I could sure use some light. I could sure use some direction. And he linked direction and counsel to his fatherhood. Isn't that simply amazing? He He's called the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Isn't that powerful? The emphasis in the scriptures on his fatherhood, but we almost never refer to it. Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage, again to fear. And I think fear is probably one of the greatest emotions that an orphan or someone who feels like an orphan fights. Fear knocked on the door. I sent faith to answer it. There was no one there. I sent faith to answer the door, but there was no one there. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit, capital S, of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. I want you to say that with me to the Lord. Abba, Abba, Father. It was a term of endearment. It was a term of affection. Abba, Father. Hallelujah. Don't you feel that way about him? He's not just some distant deity. You know, I almost never, ever called my dad daddy. I will call him dad. I don't know if I ever really called him father, but I called him dad. But I love him, loved him, love him forever. And thank God for his influence in opening a door to revelation. But Ember would use the daddy word on me. It wasn't, Father, I need $5 to go to Chick-fil-A. It wasn't, Dad, you got a few bucks for this suffering child of yours? Some of you know how funny she was. It was, Daddy, and that the last part of the word went kind of high into the soprano section. She started in alto and ended up in the soprano. You know, Daddy. And when she used that word on me, it was like, here, hold this. What you need? Who's bothering you? What do you need? How much money you need? How much did you say you need? When she would say, and she used that word. I mean, she was a salesperson, you know. And I'll never forget, she got out here. She was called the Rover in her company. And they had her on this wide arc of traveling. It was a wintry day, a lot of snow on the ground. And she called in and she was lost. Man, I whipped out my iPad. Man, I found out where she was. I enlarged. I'm telling her where she, I'm getting ready to tear off to, you know, catch up to her. Because she called for daddy. Remember when, before cell phones, we had that little pager. It was a voice-activated pager. It had 8 seconds. You remember, Esther? 8 seconds. And so sometimes, like John Grant called me, my district superintendent. He said, Brother Meadows, and he said that, and he took so long to say it. He's from Texas, you know, kind of threw it out. Bing! It's, you know, that's all he's got to say. What's called my name? And I called him up. I said, Brother Grant, I know who you are. I know who I am. What did you need? You know, and, okay. Brother Meadows, you know, it took him 8 seconds to say my name in South Texas. Anyway, Amber woke up, and we were gone. And she didn't know where we were. And she was, I don't know how old was she then. Huh? She was not just a little tot. About 8 maybe. She called my pager. And all of a sudden, what it was something like this. Daddy, where are you? It's like, okay. Everybody clear off the road. Get out of the way. My baby's calling. I'm glad they weren't handing out tickets that day. So I couldn't get home fast enough. She was in a panic. She didn't know if we'd been raptured. I think she studied that in her Sunday school class. And she wasn't sure we were gone and didn't say goodbye. But I mean, I wanted everybody off the road. I'm getting home. I'm going to find my baby girl, because she called for Daddy. Alto soprano. Don't you know? When you say, Father, help me, help me, help me. He said, I will not leave you. I won't leave you hopeless. I won't leave you bereaved. I won't leave you orphans. I'm on my way. Would you lift your hands as our musicians come? Would you lift your heart? Would you let him be Father God to you? Daddy God to you? Would you let him nurture you? Would you let him pull you deeper into your spiritual family? Would you let him wrap his arms around you and pull you close enough to where you could hear his heartbeat? Daddy God, hey Father, he will come running. He will come running. When you read Luke 15, the story of the prodigal son, it says the father ran. He could see it was his boy. The way he walked, the way he moved, at a distance he could see it was his boy. And the scripture says he ran. He ran. Daddy ran. You know how much he loves you. You say, I've got this and I've said that and I've gotten in a mess and I've... It doesn't make any difference to him. Doesn't make any difference. Oh yeah, he's the answer to chain breaking. But I believe there's a revelation in the scriptures that will cause our orphanhood to dissolve, dissipate, and disappear. And that is when we have a revelation of the fact that he is Daddy. That he's Daddy, and that he'll never, ever leave us. And his presence is the guarantee that we don't have to live like orphans. Would you love him? Would you give him a chance to be daddy to you? Would you give him a chance to be daddy to you? Would you let him undergird your dreams? Would you let him fortify your resolve to live for him? I will not leave you orphans. Oh, I wish that we could open this altar and somebody would run down here into the Father's arms. I wish somebody could run down here and throw themselves in the lap of God and say, I need you, Daddy. I need you desperately. I can't live this life without your help. I can't live your holiness the way it needs to be lived without your help, without your power, without your grace. Worship you, Lord. Would somebody want to walk into the arms? The arms of Father God. I worship you. I worship you.
You're a good, good Father.
You're a good
Father. To you are.
To you are.
To you are. To you are. And I'm loved by you.
I'm loved by you.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
It's who I am.
In Jesus' name. Oh, in Jesus' name.
Searching for answers. come. Just what we need before you. Say your word, you're a good, good Father. To you are, to you are,
in his presence and say,
to you are, and I love by you. To I am,
could you help
to
me today?
I am,
hey daddy, I
to
like
I am, your
right
good, good Father.
Hey,
to you are,
I want to,
to
be,
you are,
I want to be that
to
person.
You are,
you called me
I'm
to
love
be,
by
I need
to
your
I
mercy,
am,
Father of mercies,
to
I
am,
need your direction,
to I am,
Father of lights,
because you are perfect in all of your ways,
Daddy God.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
In Jesus' name.
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Would you reach over me to somebody on your right that you can pray a prayer over and say a blessing?
You are perfect in all of your ways.
Close to you.
You are perfect in all of your ways. Perfect in all of your ways.
Like an orphan, I am a child of the living God, and he lives in me and he walks in me. Hallelujah. Oh yeah. And when you call on him,
his love so
when you call
undeniable
on him,
I can hardly speak.
He'll come running.
So unexplainable. I can hardly think as you call. Deeper still as you call. Deeper still as you call. Deeper still into
love.
You are perfect in all of your ways. You are